You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
How great you are, our faithful God. Beautiful music there on Mid-Morning Empowerment right here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. Time for us to get into our conversation with Pastor Henry Mukala, who's going to be joining us to speak about bridges, not walls, as our subject, speaking on seeking and extending reconciliation. This is going to be our subject as we go through this week, and our pastor will be guiding us through that conversation. Now, we know that conflict happens, and it's a part of life that we cannot avoid. We've all experienced it in one way or another. But what truly matters is how we as Christians respond to it. Okay, seeking reconciliation isn't about winning or losing. That's an important thing to remember. It's about restoring relationships and healing wounds and finding common ground. Okay, whether it's with a friend, with a family member, or a colleague, reaching out and making amends can transform lives and create lasting peace. So we want to unpack what it means to be a peacemaker in today's world. And we are not winning in trying to connect with our pastor. But we'll keep trying. We'll keep trying. But as we try and connect with the pastor, please do share with me what your experiences have been with conflict resolution. +27 7347035 20 is the number. Again, that's +27 7347035 20. We're talking about conflict resolution, building bridges, not walls. Okay, very important. We want to know what are the first steps to take when seeking reconciliation with someone. And we also want to talk about how humility plays a role in rebuilding broken relationships. I don't know if you can even talk about building a broken relationship without humility. On either side, whether you are the offender or the offended, either way, I feel like there is humility that has to be had for any kind of forward movement in a relationship that has been broken or that has been hurt in some way. There has to be humility. I must be humble enough, obviously, as the offender, to admit that I was wrong, that I did something wrong, that I hurt you, and that I am sorry. I must humble myself, put myself in that vulnerable position to be rejected, to have my apology rejected. That is vulnerability and that is humility that it takes for me to say, I am sorry. That was my bad. I shouldn't have done that. I wish I had not done that to you. I see the pain that I caused you. That was selfish on my part. There's humility in that. But there's also humility in recognizing that a wrong was done to me, but I am not so amazing. I'm not so perfect that I should never be wronged, right? I'm not so perfect. If Jesus Christ himself was crucified to the cross, surely I must also expect that wrong will be done to me as well, first of all. Secondly, I'm not so perfect that I myself will never need forgiveness. Maybe even from this very person who's apologizing to me right now. Even if it's not from them, I need forgiveness from someone, somewhere. And so there's humility in that as well, to say, I don't really have any ground to stand on to continue to hold this grudge against a person, knowing who I am, knowing my own sinfulness, right? There is, you have to have humility to be able to admit that, to say, okay, this is where I stand as a human being. And I know that I need forgiveness as well, just as much as this person needs forgiveness. So that's why I say humility is needed on both sides. That's been my understanding and my experience. But it's very easy to always see oneself as the victim and to think to yourself, well, they owe me an apology and that's it. They must humble themselves. But no, it also takes humility to accept someone's apology and to genuinely have a heart of forgiveness, which is not possible in our own power as human beings, as sinful human beings, I might add. It's not possible in our power. We need God's grace and we need his forgiveness to flow through us so that we're able to forgive wrong that's done in turn to us, right? So let's see if we can get through to our pastor now. Pastor Mukala, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
All right. Pastor Mukala is joining us to speak about seeking and extending reconciliation. We're building bridges, not walls. Let's get straight into it by addressing this question. What are some of the steps that we should take when we're seeking reconciliation with someone?
Okay. Thank you for this time to address some of these issues that affect us. So to quickly start responding to the questions, there are quite a number of steps that can help in the process of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And some of these steps that can be taken are simply, apologizing, active listening to the perspectives that's around the entire conflict, and also expression of genuine remorse for what has happened, and willingness to forgive is also something that can be done, so that the process is enhanced and working collaboratively, to help rebuild the trust and other things that have been broken as a result of conflict or that particular thing that may have led to, having that issue that is trying to bring a disparity between the two or more people that are involved. Yeah. And so these are some of the processes that can be done to make sure that one achieves reconciliation at the end of the day.
Beautiful, beautiful. But even with these steps in place, there are some challenges that may arise. Maybe let's talk about some of those. What are some of the challenges that often arise in the reconciliation process, and how can those challenges be overcome?
Okay. So in the process of reconciliation, a number of challenges may arise. Some of these are, as people are trying to arrive at a certain destination in their way to achieve reconciliation, at times people tend to be defensive. They tend to protect themselves, by being defensive. They want to justify, to show that they are not the ones at fault. So that is one of the barriers that may be incurred in the process of reconciliation, because when we become defensive, it becomes a bit difficult for people to arrive at one particular ground so that they can achieve reconciliation.
Mm.
So the first barrier that may be incurred is probably getting defensive, with the problem at hand. So everyone wants to justify why they said this, why they did this, why this particular thing happened. So when it's not addressed properly, it becomes a problem. Mm. So they can be able to get through the conflict, the barrier, by simply, trying to understand things from a bigger picture. You look at the bigger picture.
Mm.
At the end of the day, it's more important to have peace than actually win, an argument, so to say. So, in order to get over this barrier, I think someone should be able to look at the bigger picture and say, well, what brings us together is bigger than, what divides us. So the bigger picture, can be considered so that they achieve peace.
Beautiful. I think that's where a lot of us get stuck, is on trying to win rather than to actually reach a resolution. It's about winning and losing.
Yes, we are more concerned with making sure that you drive something home. You make the point clear that I'm more, capable of defending myself and so on.
Mm.
Yeah, so that is the first barrier I think that we go through as we try to resolve conflicts.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, so the second one is probably at times there are instances where people don't, they don't address the issue. They want to address the person that is involved. Yeah. So you find that we try to dodge around, the issues are there, but we look at the person, I have issues with this person because of what, we may have heard, or, all those things, but there are issues that need to be addressed. So we don't look at the issues. We look at the person. Yeah, so that's one of the barriers that we incur in the process of conflict resolution.
Mm.
Yeah.
Could you speak a little bit more on that? Like, just give us an example of that, focusing on the person rather than the issue, and how can we overcome that?
Okay. So in this instance, we are talking about a situation where, is not concerned with the issue that is prevailing, what has happened.
Uh-huh.
You know, they tend to look at the person who is involved, because we have preconceived ideas about that particular person. This may come as a result of what people have told us about the person. You know, for instance, they said, well, this person cannot be talked to. They are bad. They are like this. You know, they are arrogant. They are like that. And because of the preconceived ideations that we have, we tend not to address the problem that is there. We look at the person, you know, and we label them in a certain tag, and we say, well, because I've heard he's like that, so I can't do that.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, to overcome this barrier, I think we generally have to, we look at the issue that someone has done, you know, or the issue that is there for us to solve.
Yeah.
You know, like one writer has said, he said, this is not that, you know, so what someone may have said about that particular person may not have been true about the person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we address the issue as it is. What has happened? What are the dynamics of the conflict at hand? You know, we address those issues so that we arrive at peace. Unlike where we just become prejudgmental towards the other person, you know, when we take that approach, we'll end up creating more problems than actually solutions for the problems. So that's one of the ways that can help to overcome that barrier as we are trying to achieve reconciliation.
Right, right. Now, what about forgiveness? How does forgiveness factor into seeking reconciliation?
Okay. So forgiveness is important in the process of reconciliation, because forgiveness is just the foundation of reconciliation itself. You know, it's what holds reconciliation. You can't reconcile with someone you haven't forgiven, or someone you haven't sought forgiveness from. There must be that element or that aspect where one, you know, forgives or seeks forgiveness so that there can be reconciliation. So it's like the bedrock of reconciliation. It holds everything in place.
Yeah.
Because my heart and the person I've offended, you know, they have to be clear in their heart, you know, to say, okay, this is the path that he wants us to take. If it's reconciliation, then I need to make amends for whatever may have brought out, you know, the conflict that we have. And so forgiveness plays a very big role, as we can see from many examples in the Bible, that where there was reconciliation, there was an aspect of forgiveness.
Yes.
You know, you put aside, you know, the differences that were there. You know, you seek to reach out to the innermost, you know, aspect of the person. You know, that's what forgiveness does. You know, it seeks to reach the innermost, you know, aspect of the person, in the sense that it appeals to the heart and to the conscience of someone. So it's very important in the process of reconciliation that there must be forgiveness. So it takes us back to what has happened. You know, what that particular person did, or what I may have done.
Yeah.
You know, I address that particular thing, and then I seek for forgiveness. And so if I'm the one who's seeking for forgiveness, it actually means that I'm aware of myself, self-awareness, you know, and I'm admitting that actually I'm the one who did this particular wrong thing. So it's very, very important, as it sits as, you know, the bedrock of reconciliation.
Definitely, definitely. Now, there's also this concern sometimes that, you know, after a relationship has broken down, even if there's reconciliation, it can't go back to how it was before. There's always going to be that scar, and it's kind of the damage will always be there, even if you reconcile. Now, how can reconciliation actually strengthen a relationship rather than leaving it fragile, if that's even possible?
Yeah, the way reconciliation can help, it actually brings clarity to the issues that were unclear about a person. Yeah, so I become aware, I become clear of where the person stands, because In the process of reconciliation, we address and we talk about everything that we brought conflict between the two of us or what may have happened.
Mm.
Yeah. So reconciliation brings clarity in that sense. And so I will be aware of how that particular person perceives me, in as much as the scars will be there, but there will be clarity. Okay, this person wronged me, and they wronged me by doing A, B, and C.
Yeah.
But after they did this, they had this perspective about me. But then we talked about it. So reconciliation will bring about that clarity of mind to say, okay, what happened is this, and this is what the person thought about me. But after we reconciled, I think this is where I stand, and this is what the person thinks about me.
Mm.
So that may be able to help the new relationship, as we can call it. Yeah, in the sense that there is clarity over issues that we are unclarified about.
Mm.
At least you don't have room to think, on behalf of the other person and say, well, they did this probably because of this.
Yeah.
So it brings about clarity. You become clear about the other person and, what has happened. Mm. So it may help enhance the relationship because sometimes you will discover that actually what you thought about the person is not who they really are.
Mm-hmm.
So when you reconcile, there is that clarity that comes to say, okay, I had the wrong perspective about everything. I judge things in a wrong way, but now I have the clarity that I need in order to see things clearer. So that may help to actually improve the relationship, the new relationship that you are trying to build with that particular person, because you have reconciled. You have harmonized perspectives and, how you viewed things and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that is how it helps to, make the relationship workable.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, I think we can leave it there for today, Pastor. Thank you so much for coming through. God bless you. We'll be connecting again tomorrow and the rest of this week. Same time, same place.
Thank you. I'm so humbled and have a blessed day.
Thank you, Pastor. Same to you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.